want to say hello to you guys online and give us a wave. I will give you a wave. You know, it's great to be in the house of God today. And, we're going to lift our praises today as we sing our first song. It's called Worthy. Oh, worthy are you, Lord. So let's stand if you can and let's sing this song together. So we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing the next song, which is called Strength Will Rise as We Wait Upon the Lord. And, you know, my uncle used to keep a peregrine falcon. And he used to put a hood over his head, and he used to just sit on his arm, and then when he took the hood off, piece of meat, so if you're eating on that one, you're in trouble. He would swoop. Now, eagles are quite amazing things, and birds of prey. And they catch the thermals and soar. And when they know there's a storm coming, they ride out the storm by riding on the thermals and sitting above the storm, knowing that they can lift themselves out of the storm when the storm is finished. And they're being safe. They can carry on about their business and locating food and whatever they need to do, the nests and feed their young and carry on. Somehow God, as we wait upon him, whatever storm we're going through, if we wait upon him, just lifts us above. Just lifts us above that storm. Sometimes we're going through it and we can't feel that God is lifting us above that storm. But if we wait on him and trust in him, even if we're going through it, we know our strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Let us sing that together. 1, 2, 3, 4. Take your seats, please. We're going to have a few notices.
Good morning. I don't know if you noticed, but there's a massive, great big screen behind us. So let's just tell the story of that and where we're up to so far. And I'm sure you've gathered that the words aren't appearing on there yet. And there's a massive tower. This is kind of the story, and the story involves a whole lot of hours of Steve Williams being here and looking after the people who were coming in and backwards and forwards. So, the chaps who came to install it came up the motorway from Reading somewhere with a van load of goodies, and they spent a day putting in all the bits and pieces that fix it to the wall. The second day was putting in these LED squares. It's something like 16 by 32 or 8 by 16, something like that, of these little squares about this big. Each one of those have got, I don't know, 256 or something little LEDs. So from anywhere around the first row back, it just looks like a picture, but at some point, if you want to come and have a look, it's just a bunch of dots, and we'll see it off in a minute when it's off. Installing the stuff to put it on the wall, and then installing all the squares, and then we had an electrician in, Gary, who does a whole load of stuff for us, and he put in a power supply, because when it switches on, it takes up a lot of current. When it's actually on, it doesn't take that much, but when it actually peaks, it takes enough that it needed a new power supply. And then at the moment, there's a cable going from, I don't know if you can see top right, there's a little conduit, and it goes all the way over the back of the church to the back. And we're waiting for one box which will allow the computer to talk to the screen. So at the moment, we have a very bright, shiny photo. That's all we have at the moment. The bright, shiny photo is just something that the team who came to set it up nicked off our Facebook page. So it isn't a particularly fabulous picture. It actually looks a little bit blurry around the edges. That's because the photo is a little bit blurry around the edges. So the bit that we're waiting for has got a 5-day delivery time. Steve and I aren't sure whether that included last Friday. So there is a slim chance that it will be up and running and working and moving and doing its stuff by next Sunday. But we're hoping that it will definitely be doing all the things that it's supposed to be doing by the Sunday after. So maybe one more week of patience and then the business. And the business is properly high definition without this kind of fuzz around it. Now, people with fabulous eyesight will see that just under the G of gatherings, there's a little line. Now, these LED screeny things, the chaps who installed it said that they will last for years or they will go wrong straight away. So we've got one that has gone wrong straight away. But in the box that came with the vans, there were 8, 10, can't remember, spare squares. So the reason that the tower is still up is that one of the jobs the guys are going to do when they install the thing at the back is replace the little square that is already broken. So it seems to be doing everything it's supposed to be doing. Pete saw it switched on for one day and then that was it. But there we go. Now, it's lovely, isn't it? And I think it's going to be really gorgeous. I think probably everyone who came in is just like, oh. So I don't want that to distract from Laura when she talks to us. So I'm going to go and turn it off. Second notice, please, is a church members meeting is... Oh, no, I've got a couple of things. Sorry. First off, Wednesday church meeting, 7:30. We'll do it on Zoom, just so that everybody can be a part of it without any worries. So 7:30 on Wednesday night. I've sent the agenda and stuff out once. I'll send it again just so that it's at the top of your email list. And then there have been a couple of bits and pieces about finance. One of them is that if you do a standing order, and I thought I'd checked for mine, but I had to change mine. So please can I ask everybody that any standing orders you send to the church are going to the bank account that, again, I've sent an email from that was also in Isabel's memo, the last one she sent around. So please check that your bank account, the bank account that you're sending standing orders to, is going to the right place. And then second, Isabel has printed out a load of these. They're on the table as you go out of the main doors. It says charity gift aid declaration. Could I ask everybody who contributes financially to the church, just take and fill one of these in. Veronica was keen that she had everybody's correct details. And the thing is, most people's details are not going to have changed. But I think it's better safe than sorry that we all do something like this, please. So, yeah, charity gift aid declaration. Can't read that back to front. So boost your donation by 25p of gift aid for every £1 you donate. So she just wanted to check that everybody's details are correct. Probably everybody's details are correct. But maybe if everyone does one, then that would be really helpful, please. So no rush to get it done today, but if you'd like to take one and then bring one back, and we'll have a little box for them, or you can give them to Isabel or to anybody who's on the door. In fact, that would be better, wouldn't it? Otherwise, your details are lying around for everyone to pick up. So if you could hand them to someone who thinks that they're going to get them to Isabel. Isabel's making a... Okay, but the box will definitely be with you, Isabel. Otherwise, it's a box that people can just take other people's details from. Yeah. Smashing, thank you. I'll switch it off.
Are there any other notices? Any other notices? Okay, we're going to continue with our worship then. Having spoken about God being a God who illuminates and brightens place... just like the screen behind us. We're going to sing a worship song that says, "You give life, you are love, you are light in the darkness, you give hope, great are you." Lord, let's stand if we're able to. And we're going to sing this song together. Let's stand. You give life.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord.
It's your breath.
Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. You only.
Great are You, Lord.
You give life.
You give life. You are love. Bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are You, Lord.
It's Your breath.
It's Your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. Pour out our praise to You only.
Instrumental. All the earth.
One last time. All the earth will shout Your praise. praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you, Lord.
It's your breath
in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you, only
praise. Just keep on playing that last refrain. It may be that you've come in today and you've just got so much weighing on your shoulders. God we worship and adore is a great God. And he lifts burdens from us because burdens are lifted at Calvary. So let him lift your burden right now. Just acknowledge his greatness and his love and his care for you. And his healing, should you need it. Great are you, Lord. We're going to come up to communion now and we're going to sing a song. It wasn't on the system, so I don't know if you guys actually know it. I'm pretty sure we've sung it here before, but we'll see. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. It's often called by its first line, I cast my mind to Calvary, and often it's called, Oh, praise the name. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. And in the music, it's got Anastasis written next to it. And that Greek word apparently means resurrection. And that Greek word appears about 42 times in the New Testament. And so not only is Jesus' death a central part of our gospel message, but his resurrection, without the resurrection, he would have just died and been like anybody else, any other religious leader. But our book tells us that he rose again from the dead. Now, as we sing through this song, we're singing through the story of how Jesus died and rose again. And so let's cast our thoughts towards the communion, and let's cast our thoughts for how Jesus died on the cross for us, was locked in a tomb for us, and rose again from the dead for us. I cast my mind to Calvary. One, two, three, four. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down
on the fair at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trampled down, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the of wine. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints. My gaze can't fix on Jesus' face. Praise the name. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord our God. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, our God. Oh, Lord, our God, how mighty you are in this place. And, Lord, as we remember what you did for us on the cross so long ago, we give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take your seats.
Okay, now you can hear me. So we're coming into communion now. So it's a time for us to reflect, to think about where we're at with God. This is a very small table, but this is a table for everybody. I'm going to be speaking about radical hospitality in a bit, and this is the most radical that you could ever get. A few, probably months ago, I was struck by the fact that Jesus allowed Judas to sit with him at the table, and yet he knew what was going on. He'd already done the deed. Jesus allowed Peter to sit with him at the table, but he knew that despite all his words, he was going to let him down. And don't get me started on the rest of them, who didn't even turn up. He invites us, all of us, to this table. This is a table for all, because God's love is radical. So I just want us to take a minute or two just to think about, where is God and me at the minute? He says, come to this table. Come and join me. What is our response? You're invited to this table. Whether you feel you have let God down, or you've been there and stood for him. Whether you feel you're struggling because you don't understand things that are going on around you, or whether you feel that you've got a handle on everything. Whether you deserve or you feel you deserve to come or not is immaterial. Jesus says, come to the table. Come and sit with me. Come and receive from me my love, my acceptance, my forgiveness, my mercy, my grace. So on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took some bread. And he broke it. And as he broke it, he said, this is my body. I'm willing to be broken for you. He took the cup and he said, drink. Because this is my blood, which is signing a new covenant between you and God. His love is in my blood. And as often as you eat and as you drink, remember me. Because one day we will eat and drink together, face to face again. But for now, remember. So Lord Jesus, I thank you for your willingness to be broken, to be poured out on our behalf. Help us to receive all that you have for us and to remember just how much you love us and just how much you treasure us. So when you're ready, eat your little wafer and have your little drink. Bread and wine, the ordinary that becomes extraordinary in our memory of you, Jesus. Thank you that you have given us things to remember you by that are easy to remember you by. We can see them around us all the time. And I pray that you will take us in our ordinariness and you will enable us to be extraordinary in your hands. And for your glory. Amen. Our communion offering this month is for Home Mission. Steve sent out an email with a video to watch and things. So if you're not sure what Home Mission is all about, and we're very fortunate because we're a decent sized church and we can fund the things that we need to do, but there are many churches who have so few people that there is extra help. So that's a way of us supporting our Baptist family. So there'll be a bag at the back on the way out if you've got cash or... Yes, I'm just about to say it. Yeah. Okay, so while we turn to some thinking about the topic of radical hospitality, I'm going to invite the children and young people now to head off. So if you want to go off with Judy and whoever else is there. Okay? And then we'll see you back at the end. So we don't get them lost. Okay. So I'm going to start the Radical Hospitality series, and then we'll have Steve, and then Tim is going to share some in the coming weeks as well. Pete preached a couple of times on this. I'm not going to follow anything that he said. I'm going to use some of the things that I thought jumped out at me, but you might remember some of the stuff that Pete had said. And actually, I'm going to start with Pete. He sent me a message this morning saying that he was praying for us all, and it's going to be a bit strange for him not being here. So I said I'd mention his name so he wasn't forgotten. Last week, Pete talked a little bit on Ephesians 3, and I need to tell you this little story. A couple of weeks ago at leadership, while we were praying for Pete, his last leadership meeting, I felt that the verses that I should give him were from Ephesians 3. So I read Ephesians 3 and verses 16 to 17. Yeah, thank you. And in the New Living Translation, it says, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. So I felt very strongly that God wanted to say to him, Pete, stay rooted in me. And then at prayer breakfast, Deanne said, I've got these verses, and actually it's the whole chapter of Ephesians 3. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. So we sort of looked at that. But last week when Pete was reading his verses, which was from 16 to 21 in Ephesians 3, his statement was, the more you pursue, the more he can do in and through you. So pursue God more, and you will see that God can do more in and through you. So I thought, oh, that's quite interesting. And then Carol shared at the prayer breakfast, verse 18, which talks about how wide and long and high and deep is God's love for us. And I'd not been here. She said a few years ago, somebody had preached on this. And as they talked about each of these, how high and how wide and how long and how deep, it makes a cross. So it's quite interesting to think it's about the cross connecting us with God and us with each other. We get that grasp of how big God is. So it was interesting that three times Ephesians 3 came up. It doesn't fully fit in with what I'm saying, but it will come back at the end. Because this morning, we're thinking about the very first one of these principles. We've got the five practices of fruitful congregations. We've got a radical hospitality, passionate worship, intentional faith development, risk-taking mission and service, and extravagant generosity. And we're just going to look at that first one for the first few weeks. So I, when I was thinking about this, was drawn to Luke chapter 14. So I'm going to read Luke 14 to us. Verses 1 to 24. So Luke 14. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from dropsy. Jesus asked the Pharisees on the Sabbath, asked the Pharisees and experts in the law, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? But they remained silent. So, taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him on his way. Then he asked them, if one of you is a child or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull it out? And they had nothing to say. When he noticed how the guests had picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited, And if so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this person your seat. And then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you're invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said to the host, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends and brothers and sisters and relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and that in that way you'll be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, oh, blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them. Please excuse me. Still another said, I've just got married, so I won't come. The servant came back and reported this to the master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there's still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. Radical hospitality. This is an image you might not see very well, but you could look it up if you want to go and Google it. So this is a parable of the Great Banquet by Brunswick Monogrammatist. I think that's how you say the name. 1525, thereabouts. And it just depicts all these people coming in and sitting down at this banquet. There'd been lots of people invited. Their place was there. But they didn't want to come because they'd got other things to do. So the king says, right, I'm just going to get everybody in then. I've got all this food. I don't want it to go to waste. We're very used to that now. And let's not waste our food. Let's open it up and make sure that other people can use it. And he invites them all in. Radical because they're inviting people in that would be seen as dirty, lesser. They're not the ones that you're going to do well out of being friends with. Very different to the culture of the time when it was all about being seen with the right people. Maybe we're still in that sort of place, making sure that we are seen to be in the right parties. Let's not talk about parties. But that you've got that invite, that you're allowed to be in a place. What is radical hospitality? In the Cambridge Dictionary, if you see it as a noun, it talks about a person who supports great social and political change. So to be radically in anything, you're supporting change. It could be that someone who's believing or expressing the belief that there should be great or extreme social, economic, or political change, causing or being an example of great change. That's what being radical is. If I want things to change, Where do I need to look for that change to happen? I would suggest the first place I look is me. If I think things should change, then what am I going to be doing about it? Am I willing to be changed to bring about change? And in hospitality, well, you might think there's nothing radical about hospitality. It's just offering a bit of food for people and a bit of time together. That's not very radical, is it? It depends on what our understanding of that word is. In the first century, the early Christians knew that this was quite a radical thing to be doing. That to invite people in who were different, to spend time with people who were not the same as them. The early church, people came from a Jewish tradition, from a Gentile tradition, from all walks of life. There was a lot of difference. And they knew that, yes, a meal was good. It's always good to have a meal with people. But hospitality was so much more than just a meal. In Acts 2, verses 42 to 47, it tells us that the church would eat together. They would break bread together every day. They would spend time doing life together. I loved the one song. Have we sung it yet? No, we haven't sung it yet. One we're going to sing at the end. We've sang it because we practice it. But the song we're going to sing at the end, and it talks about that we're going to walk together. And something that God has challenged me over the last probably 3 years is when I'm supporting people, it's not about me doing stuff for them. It's about me walking with them as they do. So we walk together. We learn from each other. They did life together. They were connected. When somebody was in need, they were there. When there was a party going on, they were there. When people were struggling in any way, shape, or form, they were there. They did life together. Now, I've talked about the redwood trees before, and I just love the redwood trees. One of the biggest trees that we have on the planet. But its roots don't go down very deep. Its roots spread out far and wide. And if you get into a forest of redwoods and look at the root systems, the roots intertwine with each other. They're connected. And if there's an issue with one tree, the other trees can then give the nourishment to that tree. That interconnection, making sure they're connected with each other, knowing what is going on in each other's lives. I have to hold my hand up and say, I'm really quite rubbish at that. I'm rubbish because I often forget. I've got a memory that drops more out than it keeps in. But I also feel that there just doesn't seem to be the time to catch up with people. So for me, the challenge is, how am I going to intentionally connect with the people at this church? How am I going to make sure that the connection is there? And it's a two-way thing. It's about us all desiring to be connected, to make sure that we're looking out for each other. And hospitality is part of that. As I say, it's not just about a meal. It's about a giving of ourselves. And where is our example about being connected? Well, I would suggest in John 15, where Jesus says that he is the vine and we are the branches. But even more than that, he says, and I'm connected to the Father and to the Spirit. There is that interconnection between the Trinity that models what God wants for us. Jesus lived a fruitful life here on earth because he lived, I suggest, in radical hospitality within the Trinity. That there was that connection, that was that desire to make sure that change comes. In the New Testament, we have many stories of Jesus eating with people and going to their houses. And in actual fact, he was accused of being a bit of a drunkard, because he's always out partying, they were saying. He's always with these people. Jesus understood about doing life with people. He did life very intentionally with the disciples. He made sure that he spent time with them. He didn't just give the quality of time. And I can only imagine what it'd be like to sit at a meal with Jesus. Because I'm sure he was much better than me of giving that quality, of really listening to people, of not trying to think about what my answer might be while the person's talking, or not thinking about what I want to tell them while they're still talking, but to really listen, to really hear what they're saying. And I often thought, if I give quality time to people, if I really give them my attention, if I give them really good food, if I have them round the house, or I take them to a really nice place, then that's going to be great. That's going to be really worthwhile. But doing a bit of reading while I was preparing for this, this phrase really struck me, that quality comes from quantity. Am I willing to give people a big chunk of my time, not just a nice bit of my time? That the quality that I have, the quality relationship that I'm going to develop with people, will come out of the time I'm willing to spend on that person. If I'm not willing to sit with someone while they cry, or while they are celebrating something, or whatever, if I'm not willing to sit and give them time, then am I really developing that connected relationship? Me and my Steve are quite different. I like you to just get to the point. Just tell me what you need to tell me. You might have noticed my Steve likes, I've not asked permission for this, so I do hope he forgives me, but my Steve likes to tell everything. And I have to admit, there are times when I'm like, just tell me the point. Just tell me what you need me to know, or I think I need to know. But what I have learned over our many years together is that I have to let him tell me. I have to give him that time. So instead of standing there going, just get to the point, I go, okay, Laura, he needs to tell you this, so let him tell you. And I've had to learn to give him that quantity as well as quality. That it's not just about saying, I've heard you, but can you do it quicker next time? It's, I'm hearing you. This is important to you. And I'm going to listen. I'm going to take that on. Now, you might think, well, that's all right, but what if people take up too much of my time? What if they really drain me? I have been learning over quite a few years now that I need boundaries for me. That I need to make sure I have time for myself as well. But that doesn't mean to say that I can't have time for others. Self-care is important. And you've heard this probably many times. They always say on the planes, if the oxygen mask comes down, put yours on first before you do anyone else's. And it's a bit the same about self-care. When the storms are coming, make sure you've sorted your oxygen mask. Make sure your connection with God is in a place that is going to be good. And then you can help others. So I'm not saying you run yourself into the ground and give everybody every part of you. But am I willing to connect with people? At school, and in my school, our kids can be particularly challenging. But we often use this phrase, connection before correction. So we try not to be the one who corrects a behavior or an attitude if we've not got connection with that child. So we often have key people who will take that child aside and talk to them about things. Make connection first before we look at correction. When I first started at the school, the kids gave me a really hard time because I was only there for a couple of days. And I found over the years, the more I've been there, the less they give me a hard time. They still give me a hard time, but the less they give me a hard time. And you can actually get alongside them. So maybe we need to think about the quantity of the time we are willing to spend together, as well as the quality. Because the quality will come out of that quantity. And I don't know if you've ever done this, but you've spent time with someone and you've been just chatting about general things and whatever, and then suddenly they'll say something that's quite deep, that's really important to them. And that's because you've given them time, time to express and think. But radical hospitality is not just something that's good for us. It's at the core of everything that God does, I would suggest. The theology of hospitality we can see from Genesis right through to Revelation. We can see that God welcomes people into his space and his life and his journey. He opens himself up to all with no guarantee that it will go well. So God has, as I said, modeled this. Connection is really important, but the statistics have told us in the last probably maybe 10, 12 years that there's been a pandemic going on, much bigger than anything that COVID has thrown at us. And this is loneliness. I had a look at the statistics. In 2020, there was a survey that said there was around 3 million people in England alone who would say that they often or always felt lonely. 3 million people. I wonder what that statistic would be now. Would that have increased or decreased? Have we got better at connecting? Or is all the COVID stuff made it harder, so it's been easier to disconnect with people? How could radical hospitality help with the issue of loneliness that's within our community, and I want to suggest is within our churches as well? Hand on heart, there are times when I stand even in this church and feel alone. And that's partly to do with me, because connection is a two-way thing. So loneliness isn't just something that's out there. It can be within our communities as well. We need to think about how we can keep that connection with each other. In Luke 14, Jesus says, don't just invite those who are close to you, those that you get on with, or those that you think you're going to get something from. Don't be trying to climb some sort of ladder. Think about those that others might not invite, that might not talk to. Show kindness to strangers. And that doesn't always come easy. Our lives are busy. COVID has made things a bit different. We have to restrict some of what we do. But how can we creatively connect with each other? In a few, probably a few weeks back, I spoke on Matthew 25. I said, whatever we do for the least, we do for Jesus. Whatever we do. I often say to the kids at school, you know, sometimes just a smile to someone could make their day. It's not about doing things that are really complicated. It's about thinking, what would help my day? How can I then do that for others? How can I show that connection? In Deuteronomy, God talks to the Israelites and says, remember You once were foreigners. You were a stranger in Egypt. Remember all that I did for you. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widows, so those who were part of their community. He loves the foreigner residing among them. He gave them food and clothing, those who were outside of the immediate community. And you yourself were foreigners in Egypt. He reminds them without his hospitality, they would have died in the wilderness. Without him giving them all that they need, his amazing grace, his mercy, his forgiveness. God's heart and desire is for the highest good, even for the strangers. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were not part of that community, while we were away from him, he held out his hand and offered hospitality. If we're going to be radical in our hospitality, it has to begin in our heart and our mind. We have to have the passion and the feeling that we want to show God's love because he loved us. But we also have to have it in our mind where we think about how are we going to do this. Make a plan. So hearts and minds together will enable us to be radical in our hospitality. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, you might know it really well, we're reminded that we need to be transformed. Transformed by surrendering all of our being, every single aspect of us to God. Not just a little bit, not just the bit that we're happy to give over, but surrender all. And this is how we'll be able to know what God's will is, it says, his good and pleasing will. So the wisdom that we need comes from being connected to God. Pete said we need to pursue him above all other things. Is he first in our thoughts? Is he first in our plans? Is he first in our actions? We need to pursue God, get that connection, and then, I suppose, pursue connection with each other, making sure that we've got that connection, the horizontal and the vertical, not just one. And if we go back to Ephesians 3 again, in verse 10 it says, God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to display his wisdom. We're broken, we're imperfect, we have struggles, but God says, I'm going to use you, and I'm going to use you to show my wisdom to those around us. So as we show hospitality to each other and to the community around us, then hopefully we can introduce people to a God who loves them. He loves them now. He doesn't love them just when they get themselves sorted. He loves them now. But again, as we've heard many times, he loves you and you come as you are, but he loves you too much to allow you to stay as you are. So come as you are, but allow him to transform. But to start with, he loves you. It helps us to show the community that there's a place to belong and to not be alone. How can we do this better, that we help all of us have that connection? And I'll say it again, it's a two-way thing. If I don't feel I'm connected with people, then what am I going to do about it? How am I going to bring that about? It's a two-way thing. It introduces them to a peace that can be present even in the darkest of times. So we've had a struggle through all the COVID and things like that, but I want to suggest that we can show people that even in those difficult times, there is a peace. That Jesus comes to bring peace in the middle of the storm. We also can show them that there's forgiveness that they can give forgiveness and receive forgiveness. One of the really big challenges, I don't know if it's the same for you, but for me, is about forgiving myself. I can often forgive other people eventually. But as the big struggle I have is forgiving me when I feel I've let God down or I've done the wrong things or I've... And that's been a big challenge for me over the last few years. And I'm sure that that's the same for lots of people. I've heard, when I was working with BCM, I've heard some of the people who come to the soup kitchen, the care centre, say, but I just can't forgive myself. So we need to show people that forgiveness needs to be for us as well as for others. That there's a life worth living for. There is another pandemic, I suppose, of people just feeling hopeless. And that hopelessness then leads to thoughts of suicide, attempts of suicide, or actually managing suicide. And that's hard when you live in a place like that constantly of darkness. But there is a life to live for, and it's worthwhile. And in the last one, a sense of purpose. We all need a purpose. And we can get that purpose through our community, where we work together. So radical hospitality, love for the stranger, that can counter all the cultural norms. And it may involve food, but not necessarily. But it is good when it's got food involved. But it doesn't have to be extravagant. I was listening to a talk while I was preparing. A chap in America was talking on this subject, and he said, he's an introvert. He says, I find it really hard having people around, but I decided we would invite our neighbours to come for hot dogs. Doesn't have to be an extravagant meal, but just find ways that we can connect with people around us. A giving of ourselves and what we have. Oh, gone on too fast. Because we love because he first loved us. Jesus said, I only do what the Father does. And we too should be able to say, I'm only doing what Jesus has done. I'm being radical in my hospitality because he is radical in his hospitality. Let's pray. Lord God, I want to thank you that you welcome all, that your arms are open to all. And you take the risk that we might throw that back in your face. But I thank you that you're hospitable to us in every area. That you want us to come deeper and deeper with you. You want us to spend more and more time with you. Help us to be willing to share all of our lives with you. And then from that, help us to know how we can connect with each other on a level that is deeper than has ever been before. Father, will you transform our hearts and our minds that we might show all of you to each other? Help us to love. Help us to love in a way that is radical and that is affirming. And we ask this for your glory, Jesus. Amen. We're going to finish singing the song that I quoted. So over to Dave.
Thank you for your words there, Laura. Very challenging words when you like your own company. Very challenging words. When it means you have to kind of think about putting yourself out there for other people and encouraging other people. So I just wonder if we could just be silent for a moment and ask God to show us the people or the person he wants us to show radical hospitality to. Let's just bow our heads for a moment and say, God, we know lots of people, but who are the ones you want us point us towards this week as we do more than just hear the word, but we put the word into practice? Let's just be still and let God give us some pictures and some names of people who kind of need to see his love in action through us. Lord, those people you've just laid on our hearts, just give us the inclination to follow your word through. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Radical hospitality. Laura started off by saying, right at the communion, this is radical hospitality right here in the bread and the wine. And then she went on to expand upon that in her sermon. And we're going to sing a song that she was quoting from. This is what I'm asking you to do. This is why I'm kneeling here beside you. This is what I want my church to be. This is what I want the world to see. Who it is you follow. Who it is you model yourself after. Let's stand if we can and sing "All the Room Was Hushed and Still." All the room was hushed and still, and when the bowl this is what I'm asking you to do. This is why I'm kneeling here beside you. This is what I want my church to be. This is what I want the world to see. Who it is you follow. Love each other. One another. Love each other the way that I have loved you. Walk together, and whatever comes, love each other the way that I have loved you. Let the room be hushed and still. This is what I'm asking you to do.
This is why I'm kneeling here beside you. This is what I want my church to be. This is what I want the world to see. Who it is you follow. Love each other. Love each other the way that I have loved you. Walk together and whatever comes. Love each other the way that I love each other. Love each other.
Love each other. Love each other. That's the command today. Radical hospitality and loving one another. We don't always have to use the words to communicate the gospel. Sometimes the actions speak louder than words. Let us share the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Bye all. Bye.
Bye-bye.
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 Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. See you all. God bless. Have a blessed
bye.
Week.
Yes, and you, Pete. God bless.
Oh, yes, bye.
Bye, Trevor.
Bye.